Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and for those of you that listen regularly, you know we had a guest that was scheduled today. Well, as it turned out, she was not able to make it. But we have a delightful, delightful woman whose personal story I think is going to be fascinating. We have a wonderful lady, Jennifer Weigel, and her book is called Stay Tuned, Conversations with Dad from the Other Side. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Donna, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute delight, and I think things work out in a fascinatingly harmonious way. And I want to share with my listeners that I have all of these books. I review anywhere from 400 to 600 books a year. So when I have a stockpile that bins up, and yours was in a stockpile, and when I was called by Sarah at Hampton Roads, and she said, Donna, there has been this cancellation. It's at the last minute. I hate to do this to you, but your guest isn't going to make it today. I said, okay. I reach over into this box, and I pull out your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, Stay Tuned, and I thought, okay, let me take a look. And when I saw Jennifer Weigel, Emmy Award-winning skeptic, I said, okay, this one I think is going to do it for today. So I pull it out, and I read through your book. I actually read your book.
Oh, my goodness.
This morning.
Honestly.
And I said, this is interesting. And Sarah called you, and she said, Donna, this woman is so busy. I don't know if we can get her at the last minute, but let me try. And here you are. And I'm so appreciative of this, because sometimes things like this happen. But your material in your book, not only is it about you and how you evolved through the industry that I have such a passion for, which is broadcasting, and we'll go into that a bit, but you are an Emmy Award-winning reporter out of Chicago. You began your broadcasting career in radio, moved into television. You did entertainment reports, filing of same for WGN before you moved to a CBS affiliate, WBBM. You were honored with an Emmy in 2000 for your on-camera reporting. In 2002, you started your own production company, JCW Productions, where you oversee the creation and production of entertainment programs as well as feature stories for the Hallmark Channel series New Morning. And when I talked to you earlier today, you've got your own show, which we'll get into that. That's something that has popped up for you. But your journey is what is so fascinating.
You know what, it's unconventional, I'd say, in the sense that I wound up where I thought I would, because that was not the case. I thought I would be somewhere else, and I just decided to keep walking through the open doors when a window would shut, or, you know, you fly by the seat of your pants, and I came from a family that kind of liked to plan things ahead and not fly by the seat of your pants, and I found that trusting my instincts, instead of going with what seemed right in my mind, wound up being the right way, even though it was scary.
Now, you have, from very, very early years, had a sense of the intuitive, which I think everybody is born with this naturally, and we gain it and we forget about it or we ignore it and then you evolve into it again. Your journey, I think, is intriguing because you used to get sick to your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You called it, oh, let's see, what was that term?
Premonitionary
bellyache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I called it my gut check later on. It came in handy when I became a journalist, and you could literally kind of go with your instincts in that way. You know, doctors do it all the time, going with their instincts, but they would never say that they're flying by the seat of their pants when they've got somebody's body or brain cut open.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it all the time, and that's what happens is we let our minds clutter our head and our thoughts and our gut checks, and our minds get in the way, but we have it. I think we're all born with some intuition. And it's like playing the piano. Sometimes you're Mozart and sometimes you can just do chopsticks, but we can all take our finger and hit the keys. So, you know, if the levels are going to be different with every single person because we're all wired differently. But as a kid, I would get stomach aches when I knew people had ill intentions, or if a fight was about to break out between my parents or a family member, or if somebody, you know, I could just tell was just not, you know, not for my best interest. And I was taken to the doctor repeatedly as a kid, and my mom was just, you know, worried as the mothers are, but the doctor pulled her aside and said, "She's making this up for attention. Just go home, tell her to write about it in her journal, and it'll just pass." And I think a lot of kids and a lot of parents are out there right now dealing with kids with gifts that they don't understand, that the doctors don't understand, that they want to medicate so that we can understand it. And it's really not the case. It's intuition, it's spirituality, it's something that we should be open to instead of be afraid of and medicate for.
One of your most significant people in your life is Teddy, and she's your sister. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Teddy.
Well, I have a half-sister. My dad got married a lot. So I like to say I was in all of his weddings, except the first one, because I wasn't born yet. But I do have a 14-year-old half-sister, and she's a wonderful part of my life now, and it's wonderful to have her, but she's got a lot of great instincts as well, and I just try to nurture that. And I have a 2.5-year-old son, so you know, you just try to let them know that it's okay and it's normal to have all these questions and ask these questions, like, what happens when we die? And you look at your parents and go, well, what happens? You know, and I would ask that question too, and I was raised by, you know, like I said, my dad got married a lot, but we were kind of Christian-based. It depended on who he was married to at the time. But we started out Lutheran and then wound out, you know, Episcopalian, and then ended up Congregational. But all Christian-based, and, you know, the fear of saying the Lord's Prayer and doing all of these things and worry about going to hell. All of these things were kind of implanted into me as a young child. And then when I got older, I would have these questions, and I think we all have these questions. And so when I lose my father at the age of 56 to brain tumor, and you kind of go, wait a second, I talked to him every day for the last 30 years, and now I can't talk to him anymore. This is strange. Where is he now? So I went on a quest, and I started doing interviews, and having the journalist background, I did the interviews that not everybody else wanted to do. You know, the mediums, the people who claim they can talk to dead people, the people who claim they have gifts that we don't have, the people that were making a lot of money on these bases for their gifts. And so I just went out and started, hit the ground running, all in the efforts of talking to my now dead dad. You know, we all grieve differently. So I just wanted to continue the conversation, and that's what the book became. It was never an intention to write a book about this journey. I just started doing these interviews. I thought maybe they'd be articles or magazine articles maybe or newspaper. And when they kept getting rejected, I just kept keeping them in my computer, and then one day they became a book.
Let's back up a little bit, because mm-hmm. you've covered a lot just in your statements there. One of your first psychics was a guy by the name of Danny. And you were interacting with him because this was an interview that was to be put together. You were hard to work with this fellow Danny. It was the mid-90s. You were the news anchor for his morning radio show out of Chicago.
Correct. Danny Bonaducci, the Partridge Family, many know him as, you know, Danny Partridge.
Mm-hmm.
He was based in Chicago, and as many radio shows will have mediums and psychics on, as sort of the funny, goofy, you know, bit that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a psychic on and see what they can predict. And he had this woman on that was very, very interesting in the sense that she brought forward some stuff with Danny that he had not shared with anybody, and she brings it up about, you know, his mother-in-law and the way she passed away. And I could see the look in his eyes. It was like, wait a minute, nobody knows that but my wife and her family. And so it kind of piqued my curiosity, and then she said to me, you know, oh, your grandmother's here, and she's glad you have the rings. And I thought everybody's got a dead grandma in their closet, and they probably all have rings that they give away to. So I wasn't going to jump up and down, but it definitely opened the door of possibility for me.
So you went from that. Mm-hmm. You and your friend Jackie
yep.
went off to see a particular gal, and I like it that you're I'm an award-winning skeptic. I just think that that's so good, because I think that's healthy. I don't see anything wrong with it. But she ended up telling you about getting married.
Yep, she told
and
me.
And all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And because of what your dad had gone through, and your dad was very central to your life, but because of what he had gone through with his many marriages, that was something you were really a little concerned about, weren't you?
Getting married?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Like I said, my marriage, you know, my thought of marriage is when it gets complicated, you call the lawyer. And to do it and to really not want to repeat what my parents did. And so, you know, you just choose wisely. And as a skeptic, I'm really glad 10 years later, knock wood, I chose wisely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you figured he was a keeper.
That's right.
You figured that one out early on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move forward a little bit because you entered a time when your career went into the toilet. It was busted. And then you had to go into some television programming. You really had come to an awareness that there were things that you didn't want to do anymore because as a reporter, you were always talking about what we would call the negative sides of the news. So many people just are not interested in, but you were deeply involved in that, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, the it bleeds, it leads mentality of the news. I'd won an Emmy for my feature reporting stories, which were the people stories that I would do, and it was more like the CBS Sunday morning news where you had longer format. You could really learn about somebody. And then the bosses kept changing every 7 months or so. And, which, by the way, 7-6 years later, it's still happening. I mean,
oh, yes, very much so.
The boss is here. I mean, it's like a rotating wheel. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, they took me off of the feature beat and put me onto the news anchor chair and the It Leads, It Leads. And, you know, I always told my friends, I'd rather be knee deep in camel poop at Barnum and Bailey Circus and a live shot than have to sit at an anchor desk. Talk about the gloom of the day, making sure my hair is perfectly coiffed. You know, that to me is not what I want to be doing with my life. And all of the negative stories, they only focused on what was wrong in the world, and they never talked about what was going right. And so that just started to wear on me. Just going into, you know, work became a challenge to even walk through the front door.
Before your dad passed, there was a very special colleague of his that died from a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an experience at the church, which to me, I sat and I just laughed. I mean, it's so easy to laugh afterwards when you were aware of certain things. You got stuck in a broom closet.
Oh, yeah, Gene Siskel's funeral. My father and Gene Siskel were actually classmates at Yale when they were freshmen at Yale. And my dad actually was also a rugby teammate of George W. Bush. And there's some interesting pictures of that in the book. But Gene Siskel passed away of a brain tumor, so I think a year and a half before my dad was diagnosed. And we were there at the funeral, and I was trying to make a graceful exit because I had to be downtown for an interview with Harold Ramis, the director and writer and actor, and I didn't want to be late because I was very still caught up in my work. And what was important to me was not being late for an interview, never mind the fact that somebody died. So I saw a big door that said exit, and I walked into it, but it was not an exit. It was a broom closet, and it was one of those antique heavy doors that slammed shut with all of its girth, and the entire back end of the congregation just, you know, turns to look like gasping, who's making all the noise. And I'm sitting there going, okay, how do I get out? Because the only way out was to go back and face the music and see all of the eyeballs staring at me. And so, you know, I did. And then once I finally got out with another heavy slamming door, a lot of people tell me this is their favorite part of the book. I was outside with a path to nowhere. There was a forest to my left, and to my right was the windows of the congregation. So, again, walking in front of everybody, hi, how you doing? Yeah, I'm the one that made all the noise, slamming all the doors. So I put my purse in my mouth, and this is an absolute true story. It was February. It was freezing, and I crawled on my hands and knees in my, you know, suit and my pinstripe jacket and my black suit and my high-heeled boots and crawled so that I wouldn't see me, you know, my rear end just barely skimming the window and got around to the front, and, of course, all the news trucks were standing there waiting, going, Jen, what the heck is your problem?
Yeah,
how you
right.
doing? Yeah, see ya. Gotta go. In a hurry. Gotta get down to the Ritz. Thanks very much. You know, it was very humbling, but, hey, gotta be on time for your interview. Again, just showing what a difference I was in for my mental state,
mm-hmm.
because of what happens much later in the book. You know, going to a funeral is a much different experience than worrying about being late for an interview.
You were sent out to do stories, for example, with a mother whose three children died in a fire, all of the things there, but you managed to turn that around so that this woman who didn't have the money to bury her children ended up getting some support from the public because of the way you presented your material. But you really were very concerned about getting out and from under that environment. And Neil Donald Walsh ended up affecting you with his material, you know, conversations with God and various things that he had written. And you found that the power of words was very, very significant. Then you met a woman by the name of Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
who was also a psychic, who gave you some very specific information because you wanted to get out of where you were. Tell us about how these individuals affected you so dramatically and the changes that it brought into your life.
Well, Carolyn Mace is a best-selling author of Anatomy of the Spirit and Sacred Contracts and Entering the Castle, and she's a medical intuitive based out of Chicago and travels the world and talks with Wayne Dyer. And I had read Anatomy of the Spirit and heard about sacred contracts, and I got to meet her when I was still working as a reporter for CBS. And again, nobody wanted to go and do these interviews, but I was always begging to do the different ones. And often they would bury them at 5 in the morning when nobody was watching, but at least it gave me joy that I was able to have these conversations. And then the frustrating part was to whittle down a 45-minute conversation to a minute-and-a-half story.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that Carolyn Mace told me really stuck, and it's some of the stuff that I use now when I go out and do my talks, is that we think now in this narcissistic society that putting yourself first is selfish or narcissistic. But really, if you do a little something for yourself, a little something, it can be a walk, it can be a romp at the gym, it can be a yoga class, that is like putting on your oxygen mask first when you're on the airplane before you help your small child. You have to do a little something for yourself, and you will be a better parent, better mother, better spouse, better child, better employee. So I really took that to heart. And then she also said, you know, you got to jump and the net will follow kind of thing on your sacred contract, because if you wake up sick and tired and knowing that you hate what you do, chances are you're not fulfilling your sacred contract,
mm-hmm.
which was what I had kind of concluded on my own, but it felt good to have a New York Times best-selling author repeat what you kind of thought already. And then when I went and met this woman in Chicago, her name is Therese Rowley, and she and Carolyn actually got their PhDs together, so they were friends. And I go to meet her because somebody had recommended I meet her, and I said, well, what does she do? Is she a therapist? What, you know? He said, no, she reads energy, and she can see past lives, and she sees dead people. And I'm like, whoa, 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 what? You got to be kidding me. You know, you're talking to a journalist here. Come on. And then they said, no, but she's also a CEO consultant for big companies, so that's her day job. But, you know, she's been able to see dead people since she was 6. And I thought, okay, I got to see what this lady's got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I made an appointment, and I didn't give my last name because I didn't want her Googling me. And I Googled her, of course. And sure enough, got her PhD and had a master's from Kellogg Business School in Northwestern and was a teacher at U of Chicago. I mean, this was not woo-woo stuff here. And so I went in there, and she brought forth some things that were so completely impossible for her to know that it truly then did convince me that we don't know everything, that there is so much going on, so much more than we could ever understand. Our brains are working at a fraction of their capabilities. And so for us to be, you know, thinking that we know everything is just ridiculous. But I just was in awe of the things she brought to the table. I mean, repeating an exact conversation that I had with my father, who's no longer here, and the only people were there for the conversation were my father and myself. So, you know, these kinds of things then make you scratch your head and go, huh? But at the same time, it makes it so much more exciting to get out of bed every day.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when your dad was passing, when he was in the process of passing,
mm-hmm.
you were right there at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You had seen a lot of the changes with him as his time was getting close.
Yep.
And he was pretty peaceful towards the end, but just just prior to a hospice nurse coming in and awakening you,
mm-hmm.
you became aware of a butterfly.
Yep.
That was underneath your sheet.
It woke me up. I felt a tickling on my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled back the covers, and there was this gorgeous butterfly, and I scooped it up in my hand, and I stared at it, and it was absolutely so vivid, Donna. It was right there. And I could almost see it like a hologram. It was almost like it was 3D, and then it just dissolved into thin air. And I was like, okay, I was dreaming. And at that moment, our hospice nurse was standing in the doorway, and she said, it's time. I can tell by his breathing. And that's when we gathered around and watched as the last few breaths happened. But I was always amazed by that, and I've met a few other different, energy people, psychics, intuitives, and they say that often the spirit leaving the body can be signified as a butterfly. A lot of nurses will say that they'll see butterflies flying in rooms after a patient has passed. So mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a universal symbol
mm-hmm.
for many people. What I thought was so interesting is when a medium was doing a reading for you and she kept seeing Bugs Bunny,
mm-hmm.
you need to give the relationship about Bugs Bunny and your dad and what happened in that meeting.
This is funny you bring this up because just yesterday we were taking out our Christmas ornaments and one of the stockings is the Bugs Bunny stocking that my dad gave me. Bugs Bunny is just kind of a theme. Laurel and Hardy, all the old classics we used to watch together and quote all of the Bugs Bunny cartoons. So, what's up, Doc, was something we said to each other when we woke up. You know, it was just sort of a shorthand for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when she says she sees Bugs Bunny, you know, in my field, right, and, you know, where my identity is in my third chakra or second, can't keep them straight down. I don't remember which chakra it was. But in one of my chakras, there's a Bugs Bunny sitting there. And, again, that's not something you can find on Google. It's not something that's ever been talked about in an interview that she would have been able to dig up if she even had the gumption to do so, which she couldn't have done because I didn't give her my last name. So, you know, the little things like that, and people go, oh, that could be just a coincidence. A lot of people, skeptics, non-believers, scientists like to say that. But as you know, and I mean, there is some science behind the physics. I mean, physicists are saying that there's an equation, that there are 11 different dimensions happening at once. Personally, I think there are much more than that. And to think, you know, that there might be several different versions of you splitting off happening at the same time, it's just kind of a fascinating thought. It's fun to get lost in that possibility sometimes.
There is so much more that is in your book that's absolutely marvelous, but I do want to share with my listening audience, Jennifer, this beautiful letter that you found. It's right at the very end of your book that had been written by your dad to you
mm-hmm.
on the 14th of January, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, Dear Jenny, I'm sitting here with the whole office going crazy and decided to call a timeout. Sometimes I wonder why I work so hard because I really feel this job has cost me an awful lot of time with you and Rafe. I suppose I chose to write this now because trouble at work makes me wonder if it's worth all this money to be separated so much from you kids. I've already missed so many nights just eating dinner with you or going to a movie. All I can do is make the most of the time we do spend together and to tell you that I love you. You and Rafa make me very proud to be your father. You are a very caring and intelligent young lady and a lot of fun to be around. I know as you get older, you'll be inclined to spend less and less time with old fossils like me, but I hope we can still keep time reserved for togetherness with the family. Maybe a trip to Europe or even just a night out for pizza or time at the beach. I hope it doesn't seem weird that I'm writing in the middle of the week, but I've made a new resolution to tell people I love how much I care for them every time I think of it. And you were on the top of the list. Talk to you tonight. Love, Dad.
Yeah. You know what? In an era where all we do is emails and cell phones and texts, to have that hard copy of a letter written in my dad's handwriting is priceless. And I tell people now, you know, when I go around and I do my talks and I speak to different groups, you know what? Get out a letter tonight. Write one on the airplane. Write a letter to those that you love because they'll have it forever. And, you know, here I was questing in this book, wondering, does my dad care for me? Does he love me? Does he think I'm making the right choices? And yet somehow, subconsciously, I saved this letter, this piece of paper in 1985 when I was 15 years old at the time. So to save that letter, forgot I had it, and then honestly, this is the truth, Donna, I had handed in the book, and I was moving a big box of stuff, and that letter fell from the box onto the floor. I picked it up, and I read it, and I called the publisher, and I said, is it too late to add an afterword, because you're not going to believe what I found. And I'd made the deadline by 4 hours.
Amazing.
So there are no accidents.
Well, that is what is so wonderful about your story, your book, Stay Tuned, because you come from a very personal space, and you share various things about your very famous father who, you know, rubbed elbows with some of the top sports personalities in the world and just had a life. But yet there was so much you learned about your dad because of stepping outside the box, so to speak, mm-hmm. of typical attitudes. And you still are daring to be different. And what is the new show that you've developed?
Well, it's called I'm Spiritual, Damn It, and it's one of the chapter names in the book. And it's basically I don't want to say best of the book, but it's about 38 pages of the 100 or 200, what is the book's 240, I think, 240 mm-hmm. pages, and this is 37 pages. So I tell people after the show, if they liked it, you know, go out and get the book, because there's a whole slew of things I couldn't put in the show. But, I did a lot of theater before I got into broadcasting, and I do a lot of talks, and one of my acting friends came to see one of my talks and said, you know what, you should make this a show, it's really funny. If it's possible that death is funny, you've made it funny. And so I did. I worked with some directors that I knew from college that are now here in Chicago and had been in L.A. And it ran this summer, a very successful run, and I got a call a few weeks ago saying, hey, do you want to bring your show back to a different theater, a bigger house? But, you know, it was like asking me if I wanted to just show up and do my dream job. So I'm happy to say that on December 10th, the show will be relaunching at the Chicago Center for the Performing Arts for anyone in the Chicago area, and I'm really excited about it.
Now, Jennifer, do you have a website?
I do. It's staytunedwithjen.com.
Stay Tuned with Jen, and that's J-E-N or J-E-N-N?
Just one N.
Just with one N. So mm-hmm. staytunedwithjen, J-E-N.com. Jennifer, this has been absolutely delightful. Thank you for being available to do this interview. It has been just a pleasure having you as a guest.
Donna, I really appreciate it. I love what you do, so keep doing the good stuff, and call me anytime.
Thank you, Jennifer. Donna Siebel here, the book, Stay Tuned, Conversations with Dad from the Other Side. Jennifer Weigel, and her first name is spelled J-E-N-N-I-F-F-E-R, and last name is W-E-I-G-E-L, an Emmy Award-winning skeptic. Good stuff. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Siebel. Don't you go anywhere. More good things to share. Stay tuned with Jen.com as their website. Touch that base too. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Here are the telephone numbers for you to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, all you need to do is when you call in, when I get on the line with you, I'd like to have your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. After that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you might be interested in. Remember, I'm an information resource, and I am delighted to be able to share with you my skills and talents while we are on the air. And I've had someone call and say, Donna, are you available privately? Yes, I am available privately. But this gives you an opportunity. If you'd like to chat with me just for a few minutes, you're going to be able to do that. And, of course, it is a toll-free number, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, you just heard the information about TCAM. I am very excited about this because this is a wellness program that I have been using since the first of the year. And I'm toned up 23 inches. It's just absolutely awesome. Teresa is going to be on the air with me in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking again about a holiday special. But I want you to know this and what you need to do to participate in this contest that we're doing. Teresa is going to be giving away three $100-plus gift packages, and this is going to include her skin tone system, which is awesome. It's absolutely wonderful. If you're in the process of losing weight, you will not get flabby with it. It is absolutely terrific. But she's also going to be including in this gift package the 15-minute workout, which is what I do almost on a daily basis. It is so great. Just 15 minutes and you're done. Now, if you would like to have a chance to win one of these packages, one of these three gifts, send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Send it and just put in the subject line, the Donna Sebo Show, and then put the code DDS, that's the abbreviation for the Donna Sebo, so DDS-30. And then that way I know it's for this particular contest. Do that and you'll be entered into the contest, and then before the end of the year we'll be making an announcement. It's a fabulous way to get fit and fabulous for 2009. And believe me, it's for anyone of any age. Tell your friends. Anybody can participate in it. So send it, your email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com, D-E-L-P-H-I, and then another I, international, the whole word, .com. And you'll be entered into the contest. And then, of course, we will be making the announcement. And if you should decide you don't want to go in the contest, but you'd like to have 30% off of anything that's ordered through TTAP, then all you have to do is put in that same code, DDS-30, and they will give you that discount. So, hey, why not try for the contest, too? Anyway, that, and then on the 13th of December, I am going to be participating in Tacoma, Washington, the Dickens Festival at the stadium area, which is in downtown Tacoma. Now, this is a wonderful event. I've been invited back to be a part of this fun family atmosphere that is just terrific. People come out in costumes, and people just have a wonderful time getting ready for this. The kids have a blast. They've got all kinds of activities going on. So if you want more information about this, go to DickensFestival.com. DickensFestival.com. Excuse me. And then what you will do is find out about all the activities that are going on, their times, and so on and so forth. And I am going to be at the King's Bookstore in Tacoma. I will be at the King's Bookstore, and I will be doing many consultations. And part of the proceeds are going towards a new charity. It's called the New Phoebe House, the New Phoebe House. And part of the money that is collected for the many consultations will be contributed to that. So I wanted to let you know about that, too. So that's all the good stuff that's happening right there. Also, and don't forget, you can call in and chat with me if you would like. I came across some information. I'm not the technical whiz kid of the world. Me, when I work on the computer, I just want to know that I can push the buttons, the screen is going to show the right stuff, and I'm going to get done what I need to get done. I am not someone that spends hours trying to figure stuff out. However, if you're like me, sometimes you feel when you're out shopping for some of this new technology a bit overwhelmed. Well, I came across some very interesting information, and David Horowitz, who is a consumer advocate, brought this out, and I thought, this is significant. I need to share it with you. Every time we go out to buy a new computer, and because of the technological advances, we've got all of this new stuff that's put on there, you're going to get a lot of quote-unquote free software already loaded into the system. But you're going to find out pretty quickly that a lot of those so-called goodies are not something that are really, really desirable. Why? They cause a real problem when you're doing the operating of your system. In fact, there is a term I had not heard until I read David's article. It's called bloatware. Bloatware. Now, these programs, they're titled that by the people in the industry because they're absolutely unnecessary. And also, they might have a tie-in to a paid service or an upgrade. They'll bog down the computer's function and the computer's speed. And if you try to delete them, you may end up with corrupted files, no improvement on what was perceived by having your previous computer's sluggish performance. So what you need to do is check out electronic store policies on bloatware. I didn't even know that they existed. Boy, is my education sadly lacking. However, it's been improved by this information. Retailers often will get rid of this bloatware for a fee, and Hewlett-Packard has been getting so many complaints from their customers, they are considering how they are going to package their software on their new computers that are going to be coming out. So they're thinking about maybe adding a feature where it would point users to a website where they can buy and download games, different types of software, and other programs that they actually want instead of having to weed out the unnecessary stuff. So manufacturers are being made aware by we consumers that this extraneous stuff is just not what we want to have to deal with. And it's important that we do speak up and speak out about it. So I really appreciate David bringing this out to the forefront because it educated me. And I can tell you that we did go to a particular facility to have certain, what I want to say, spyware, firewall stuff. It was in a certain package. And we found out when this package that it was causing so many problems with our systems. We had more than one person that was highly knowledgeable about pure computer technology. So get rid of that. You're going to have a lot of speeding up in everything you do. Put in this other system, and you won't have all of this interruption. So we did that, and we got the improved results. So that's just a little bit of stuff to share with you so that you can become a little bit wiser as a consumer. And don't feel badly. Do you know there are some people that are just so savvy with technology, but they're out of it maybe for 3 or 6 months, and they come back, and they have to go through an entirely new learning curve. It's just the name of the game today. So don't ever feel like you are, you know, top stupid person in the world. Believe me, you're sharing a lot of space with a lot of other people that feel the same way. You don't need to do that. Well, the holidays are coming. Well, we've already gone through some of the holidays, but Christmas is coming up, and there is so much to do. And if you're sort of like me, you've gotten some of your decorating done and then the rest of it, you're sort of giving it the evil eye because you've got too many other things you've got to do that are priority over getting the rest of the stuff done. Well, have patience and have faith that you're going to be able to get everything up in time. And then before you know it, you're going to have to take it all down and stuff it away in your attic or in your closet as we do every year. But there are some wonderful tips that I thought just should make the holidays so much more fun. And decorating is part of it. I don't know about you, but when I have guests come into my home and they just ooh and ah, it's just so much fun. When you've got a lot of other things going and you feel like you're going in 3,000 different directions, it can become a little frustrating. Well, just decide. If you've got kids, maybe less is more. But there are some fun things that have evolved that you can involve your children in that maybe could even be done on a nightly basis. There is a particular website, if you have children, that you can go to and you can track Santa's travels. Yes, I just found out about this, and I think it's so much fun. You can go to NORADSanta.org, NORADSanta.org. That's N-O-R-A-D, Santa.org. And maybe you already know about this if you have kids. But you can follow Santa's progress across the globe on Christmas Eve. And you can just make this so much fun. You really can. It could just be something that is really exciting, especially for the little kids. And as Santa supposedly gets closer to home, you may see some of this. Also, this is something I did when I was growing up. It was just something you did with your neighbors. And that was to just go around your own neighborhood and see what people are putting up. And it just gets you in the feel. The nights are cooler, at least in our part of the country, here in the Pacific Northwest. So put on your warm jacket and do what I saw Mom doing the other night. She had her little girl just all bundled up, and they were out walking and looking at all the houses and things that are changing as people's decorations go up. And the kids just have a great time, but it gets you outside. It's really a lot of fun. And it adds a certain magic to the holidays. Also, if you love to bake, but you are thinking, I can't bake a whole bunch of stuff, why don't you have a get-together with some other people, make it cocoa and tea or whatever it is that you want to do, but have a cookie exchange. Now, I saw a program on this a few years back, and I thought it was a great idea. And usually it's the gals that participated in it. But you guys, if you like to bake, this would be something that can be fun for anybody that wants to participate. And it can also be a money saver as well. Invite your friends each to bake a big batch of their favorite holiday cookie and then invite them over for a cookie swap. Mm-hmm. You'll have fun. Everybody will be able to munch and nosh on the goodies that are brought in. But if you bake up a big batch for one type of cookie, it costs a lot less than baking several different kinds. And then, after you have your get-together, everybody gets to take a box of everybody else's goodies home. It's just really such a wonderful thing. So maybe ask them to bring a basket or something like this, that when all is said and done, the batches of cookies can all be separated and divided up, and everybody gets to go home with a box of goodies to share with their friends and families. It's just absolutely a wonderful thing to do. And then also, sharing movies, one of my favorites, and for those of you that got my newsletter, it's Miracle of 34th Street, or Miracle on 34th Street. It is absolutely one of my all-time favorites because it just looks like today. It really does. It's just, even though it was made so many years ago, it is today still. All of the hustle and bustle and the concerns about money and the pressures, but there really is still a Santa Claus, and so that's one of my favorites. But these other ones, like It's a Wonderful Life, Holiday Inn, Babes in Toyland, there's just so many wonderful movies, and what a great way to spend time with friends and just with your family. Sit down, make up some popcorn and maybe some special cookies and just have some hot cider. Doesn't have to be high-calorie stuff, but it's just sharing the event and the activity together. And it's not expensive. It doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch. So you can have a great time during the holidays. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, how about your horoscope for the upcoming winter months? Well, I'm going to be sharing a little bit of that. Also, get your pad of paper and pen handy, because I have got a wonderful hors d'oeuvre that you could fix during the holidays. It's really, really simple, and it's got a nice taste to it, and tangy, and looks beautiful. It's a toasted almond cheese pine cone, so I'll be giving that out in just a minute. But how about a little bit of insight into what your astrological sign might bring for the next few months, December, January, and February? Let me start off with Aries. For those of you born under the sign of Aries, you are having a whole slew of exciting new possibilities coming into your life, your mind. My goodness. You are going to be really working overtime. You're going to be examining, exploring all kinds of different paradigms. Your mind is going to be opening up to new levels of observation, analysis, and you're going to find that you may find you've got a brand new passion that you really want to get into. Friendships are going to be very important to you, and this is starting to evolve in December. And in January, if you're out job hunting, be prepared. You're going to have some good opportunities come your way. Also, you're going to find that you want to have a little bit of R&R during the month of January. You want to get away from the pressure of the holidays and all kinds of things maybe that have been weighing on you. Well, under the sign of Aries, you're going to find January is going to give you that opportunity. And in February, you are going to be able to spend some time on yourself. This is the time for you to really evaluate your wardrobe. What do you want to get rid of? Do you want a new look? What is it you want for yourself? And it's going to be a time for you. So that's for those of you under the sign of Aries. And let's go to Taurus. What I'm looking at for the sign of Taurus, December, you're going to be really savvy about money. You're not going to be too concerned about the economic downturn because you are going to figure out how you want to use your money. You're going to work out your own kind of budget. And you know what? You are really going to get stuff out of your life. Clutter on all kinds of levels, you're going to get rid of it during the month of December. And then in January, you're going to say, it's time for me to bring new things into my life, your social environment, your friendships with people. All of this is going to be expanding. And you are going to really work on one thing, and that is quality. You're going to want quality in every aspect of your life. February, when that comes around, you're going to be ready for the changes that your due diligence will have manufactured for you, and you're going to be very pleased with it because you will have been attentive, and you're going to be smiling every time you go to the bank. Now, the last sign for today is Gemini. In December, peace and harmony. Boy, is it going to feel good. This is something you want. You're going to really work with people in such a way and with yourself, most importantly, so that you will have exactly what you want in that aspect of peace and harmony. It's very important to you. And then when January comes around, you're going to be finding you're really rejuvenated. You're going to be ready for new things, new challenges. You are going to be receiving a lot of acknowledgement from people around you about how alert you are, how you're getting things done. Just like you have come alive, the new year really is going to start up for you. And you have an opportunity for a position, whether it's on a board, whether it is working for the community, but a position that will allow you to achieve some recognition. And in February, you are really going to be seeing how your interactions with people are going to be very, very meaningful and very, very special. So you have got a lot to look forward to, and Valentine's Day apparently is going to have a big impact on you during this upcoming month of February in the new year of 2009. Okay, if you got that pad of paper and pen handy, here's the recipe for the toasted almond cheese pine cone, and this you make in your own kitchen. Now, these are the ingredients. You're going to need an 8-ounce package of cream cheese, and you want that at room temperature. You need 8 ounces of dill Havarti cheese. You want to shred that, and that'll come to about 2 1/4 cups. You want 4 ounces of Monterey Jack cheese, shredded, 1 cup. So those are 3 cheeses. Your cream cheese, 8 ounces, 8 ounces of dill Havarti cheese, and your 4 ounces of Monterey Jack. And the Havarti and the Monterey Jack you are going to shred. You need 1/4 cup of chopped onion, 1/4 cup of chopped onion, and that has to be real, real fine. And then you want 2 tablespoons of drained capers. You want to chop that up pretty good, too. 2 tablespoons of creamy horseradish sauce. You can get that in a jar. Or if you're really brave, you can use the fresh stuff. And then you also want 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley. And then you want 1/4 teaspoon each of salt and pepper, 1/4 teaspoon. And then you need 1 cup of sliced natural almonds. That'll be about 4 ounces. And you can use rosemary sprigs, cherry tomatoes as decoration with this cone if you so desire. Also, you can have apple slices, carrot sticks, grapes, and assorted crackers to be able to put the cheese on. Now, here's all that you have to do. You have to have a large bowl. You put your cream cheese, your Havarti and Monterey Jack cheeses, sour cream, onion, capers. Oops, I think I forgot to mention you need 1 cup of sour cream. That's right. Don't forget that 1 cup of sour cream. Onion, capers, horseradish sauce, parsley, salt, and pepper. You mix it all together. Mix it thoroughly. Then you put it in the refrigerator for 15 minutes. And put it on your serving platter. You form the cheese miniature into an oval shape. And you cover it. Now, you need to refrigerate it at least an hour or more, maybe even as far as 2 days before serving. And that gives your flavors a chance to mellow out. So what you want to do when you're just before you're ready to serve it, you're going to take your oven and preheat it to 350 degrees and spread your sliced almonds on an ungreased baking sheet and bake it until it's browned. And they'll brown in about 4 to 6 minutes. Let them cool. And then when you're ready to serve this wonderful cheese mixture, you start at the tip of the mixture and press the wide ends of the almonds, slightly overlapping, into the cheese to resemble a pine cone. And then garnish it with whatever you like. And as I said, you can serve it with apples, carrots, grapes, crackers, whatever you like. Good stuff. And oh, is it pretty. Just looks so beautiful. Toasted almonds really make it good. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time here. And just remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking about neuro-linguistic programming. Richard Bandler is going to be my guest, where he has 2 books out, and we're going to be talking a little bit about each one of them. One is titled Transformation, and the other one is Get the Life You Want. Now, neuro-linguistic programming has been around for a while, but Mr. Bandler is the one that has really put the stuff together from his own personal experience into these 2 books and gives you tools as an individual to work with. It is amazing how it can really affect you. It is very, very positive. I've seen it change the lives of so many people, and it's even affected my own. So I don't think you're going to want to miss Richard tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. We are almost out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is meant to be lived, to be experienced. It's not meant to be lived in fear. It is meant to be lived with purpose. We're all going to have challenges, but you have something very special in you that needs to be recognized, and you're the one that has to recognize it first. Because if you recognize it and you're willing to support it, you're going to find a lot of other people will pat you on the back and will say, I want you to be a part of my space in my life, so don't ever give up on your dreams. They're yours because you dare to dream them. No, they will become a reality in ways perhaps you never expect. This is Donna Sebo. We'll see you here tomorrow at bbsradio.com. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.